Welcome to the Holistic Health Podcast, where we delve into topics that bridge wellness and science for the skin, gut, mind, body, and soul. This podcast is brought to you by Gvome, where we believe that each of us has a unique ecosystem and path to reach our full vitality.
I'm your host, Dr. Raja Sivamani, an integrative physician and an Ayurvedic practitioner. Gvome is the notion that our jiva, the Sanskrit word for vitality and the essence of life, merges with our many ecosystems that compose our biome to form our unique Gvome. This podcast is meant for educational and informational purposes only. None of the information presented here are a substitute for professional medical care, and this podcast does not constitute medical advice. If you have a medical concern, please consult with your physician. Namaste and welcome for another episode with us on my podcast. And today's going to be really focused on the practical. How many of you go grocery shopping? I'm sure all of us do. And we are talking about the biggest mistakes that we might make while we're grocery shopping. And we're talking to Kimber Dean, and she is probably the coolest chef you're going to meet. She is a chef and a yoga practitioner and a yoga teacher. And you know, it's just sometimes we don't realize the kind of things that we might take for granted. And so Kimber's going to lead us through how we do this. But let me give you a little introduction to Kimber. Kimber is someone that's graduated from the California Culinary Academy, and that was in San Francisco. She's also opened Nourish Cafe and Market. And we're going to talk a little bit about how she got to where she is today. Kimber, welcome to the podcast. I'm super excited to be talking to you today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and share some of the stuff I've learned along the way.
Well, before we jump into things, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, how did you find yourself where you are today? I know that I think it's really important to realize that all of us have challenges along the way in our lives, and then we get to a point where we start to put all the pieces together. What was your journey?
Yeah, so I'll just make it a little bit quicker because it is a long journey. But after I graduated high school, had some really bad things happen in my life, and I turned to narcotics to numb the pain, which wasn't my best time in my life. About 2 years, I was an addict and in and out of homelessness a few times. So when I finally got clean, I really wanted to get to the root cause of how to feel good with my anxiety and just the things I was feeling, and then my mental health as well. So I went to therapy to work on my mental health, and I didn't want to get on opioids, so I found herbs along the way to help me with that. And then food really became such a passion for me with nutrition and how it really affected my hormones, my mood, and then, of course, all of the diseases it prevents and all of that stuff. But yeah, so it was just a learning journey for me and doing the elimination diet. And then I found out I was allergic to gluten, so I stay away from that. During that, I went to a nutrition program with Shaw Academy and got my personal nutrition diploma. And I also have my yoga teacher training, so that really helps with the mindfulness with eating. So that's like a short version of how I've gotten to where I am and what I do. And then, yeah, I opened Nourish Cafe and Market. Prior to that, I wrote Happy Food Cookbook and released it in 2015. I opened my restaurant with my business partner in 2016. And then I released my second cookbook, Happy Baking and Desserts, in 2018.
How does yoga and taking a bit more of a mind-body approach, how does that shape your approach to food?
Oh, it's my philosophy on life is my yoga practice. I take everything I practice on my mat and I use it off my mat, especially my breath. That's my lifeline. But when it comes to food and your breath, I mean, for example, it's just one of the things, like you said, it takes years of practice. And say standing in the grocery store line, and they, you know, advertisers, they do a great job. And the sales team at grocery stores do a great job. When you're in line, you're standing there, you're surrounded by treats like candy bars and, you know, different kinds of sweet treats. And they want you to get that impulse buy at the end. And I remember, I mean, I loved Reese's candy bar, or the Reese's peanut butter cups. Those were my favorite. So I would have to stand there and really take deep breaths and be like, okay, like I can get through 5 deep breaths without grabbing that candy bar and then move on with my day. And that's just like one really small example, but incorporating that to be present, to realize how I'm feeling, what is my body thinking, like feeling versus what is my mind thinking, and then correlate that to how I use my breath to move past that, maybe that craving. And that's, I know a lot of people have that issue, but yeah. And then, or just sitting down and mindfully taking those deep breaths while you eat, putting down your fork, having appreciation for your food. It's just connecting yourself to your food and the way you feel and being present is so important, because to me, that's what being healthy is all about, is how you feel. You know, looking good is nice, whatever, but if you can feel good every day and not have to be on medications, I mean, that's what it's all about to me.
Actually, to explore that a bit further, you really made some big diet changes, didn't you, yourself? You stopped eating processed sugars, and you talk about your cravings for sugar and carbs. And just like you're saying, at the end of the visit, you're just bombarded with all of these like goodies that probably just tag into that sugar craving, carb craving that all of us have gone through. I have to tell you, I've gone through a lot of that too. When I was younger, I used to eat chocolates, like especially sugar filled chocolates, like they were going extinct soon or something. And it's
yeah, well, it was so interesting. So after culinary school, I worked at a winery in Sonoma County where I'm from. And then I wanted to have a nice, well-rounded experience. And I went to culinary school for the culinary degree, not baking. But so I went to do wine so I could learn about wine. And then I went and I worked at a Portuguese bakery next in Rohnert Park, California. And when I was there, they were listening to Dr. Wayne Dyer. He had a CD set. It was back in 2008. And I was just getting clean, and he mentioned that when he was getting his chemo treatments for his cancer, that the nurse told him to stop eating sugar because it fed his cancer. That's what fed cancer. So I thought that was so interesting. So I started looking into it more. And, you know, when we eat sugar, we release this dopamine in our brain. So we have that feel good effect. And I was like, and then I read more, and it was linked to the same way that drugs trigger dopamine in the brain. And I was like, why am I consuming something that, first of all, is feeding cancer, and second of all, or disease, and second of all, you know, then I'm having the same effects that I was having with the narcotics. That was really the link for me, where I was like, oh, sugar is just terrible for you. I mean, like fructose from fruit is okay in smaller doses, but that sucrose from the sugar, cane sugar, that's just so processed. They bleach it. There's no vitamins or minerals. So from there, once I cut out sugar, I mean, that was huge for my body and my mental health.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's a good segue too, because a lot of us probably take things for granted when we're eating, and sugar is clearly one of them. And we probably have more power than we realize. So what do you think are some of the big mistakes we all make when we're grocery shopping? I know you've talked about this before when we've talked personally, and I'm really interested to hear your take on things, just because you, as a chef and someone that just has this great experience with food, I think you have some insight that many of us might not even think about.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different tips I have for you guys. The number one thing is, don't let the advertisers fool you. I don't care what's on the front, top, sides of the box. All I care about is that ingredients list. It can say natural, it can say healthy, but those aren't regulated by the FDA or the USDA. So as a consumer, unfortunately, we have to do our own research. So I highly suggest, you know, really looking at your ingredients and seeing what's in your food. Natural flavors, that's a really scary ingredient, because there's over 50 items that can fall under that label, and they don't have to put what it is. MSG is one of them. So whole foods on your labels and the minimum amount of ingredients is always best. So obviously picking up produce, that's one ingredient. But when you're going down the cereal aisle, really watch out for those labels on those advertising, because they'll say things that maybe not be true for your body. So I think that's a big one. I can keep going into more tips if you want.
You know, this is going to be exciting for me. It's going to be like a virtual grocery shopping with you, so to speak. Before you move on from that point, because that's a really excellent point, there are so many advertising labels that are put on our produce or put on our foods that we go and we buy. And you're absolutely right. The word natural, even in the cosmetics world, or if you look at skin products world, it doesn't have a meaning to it. And so what you're saying is it's the same thing even in foods, is it?
Oh yeah, it's not regulated. I mean, when I was in culinary school, I mean, this was 2007, 2008, we had a class and they told us that even if it said gluten-free, the regulation was only 70% gluten-free to have that label. I don't know if that has changed at all in the wholesale market and retail market, but it does make me feel very wary for someone who has a gluten allergy. yeah, sometimes I will get affected by products that say gluten-free, and then I just know that they probably have something, or they were manufactured on a belt that, you know, wasn't regulated or cleaned or sanitized very well. But yeah, it's tricky out there. It's hard as a consumer to have to do your own research, and it gets overwhelming at times. So I understand that a lot of my customers feel that way. And so we always try to put out brands and, you know, with our blog, my business partner does our blog for Nourish. She's really great about putting out good brands, whether it be skincare or something that you consume internally. So, and it's so funny though, because we also sell wine at Nourish, and we sell natural, organic, and biodynamic. And in the wine world, natural is the, besides biodynamic, of course, but natural's better for you than organic, because it has more restrictions. So it's funny that it's the complete opposite in the wine world.
Yeah, so it depends by industry. So now we know we have to be much more careful about reading food labels. So what's your approach to reading the label? How do you do it?
Well, that's the first thing I do. I pick it up and look. And if I can't pronounce it, I won't eat it. I don't even need to look it up. I have Googled some things like citric acid that can be a derivative from corn or wheat. So that was a good thing for me to learn. Xanthan gum is the same. So just getting to know your food, getting to know what you're putting in your body, what it'll do to you, what affects you. And sugar, I completely stay away from sugar. So it also matters, because we have to put in order the relevance of the food. So the first thing on the ingredient label is going to be what's in it the most. And then it goes from there. So it's the highest amount first to the lowest amount. And usually, you know, salt would be a small amount more likely than, you know, the actual product, whatever you're eating. So if the first thing's sugar, probably put that down and try to find an alternative for that. So that's another thing to look at, is just what's first on the label. What's the majority of what you're going to be eating? And can your body consume it? Is it digestible? And another thing with labels, you know, we don't want to eat preservatives. Preservatives, you don't want to preserve your body. It's all about rejuvenating yourself and always, you know, having your cells regrow. And we want to be always healing and regrowing. It's not, you don't want to preserve your body. So if you have something that can sit in your pantry, you know, like a brownie mix, and it doesn't mold for 6 months, you know, your body, we are the elements. We're water, like, you know, with Ayurveda, we're water, we're earth, we're fire, we're air. So if the elements in your pantry aren't affecting your food, and it's not an organism that's regrowing, how do you expect your body to metabolize that? So it's just all about finding those products that don't have preservatives, are free of toxins. So organic's really important, but even that you kind of have to look into. So yeah, that's the way I read my ingredients labels, I would say.
No, I love it. I love it. And you know, your point is such a good one. If you're going to be eating something that has a lot of preservatives in it, one thing that we don't know, and I think we need more studies on this, but one thing that we don't know is if it's a preservative and it's going to prevent bacterial growth, and it's going to prevent, especially like you mentioned, fungal growth, what does that mean for how it affects your microbiome as it goes down into your gut? Because we have such a rich community of bacteria that are alive, and a rich community of bacteria and fungi as well, our microbiota, that are just constantly working for us. And if we put foods down that have preservatives, does that affect our gut health? I wish there were more studies on that. And so I'd love to see that much more, but I think you raise a really good point. Okay, so what are some other tips when you're going into the grocery store?
So I always start going on the outer edges of the aisles. I know a lot of people talk about that, but it's so true. It's usually going to be your produce, you know, maybe some frozen stuff, and then your dairy, your eggs, things that need to be refrigerated. So that probably is stuff that does have the organisms that's going to regrow, your juice, your meat, bulk items, and then like grains, legumes, things like that, maybe some bread. So always stay on those outer aisles first. A majority of the time I spend in the produce aisle. And with that being said, with the bulk items and all of that, when you come to the center aisles, that's where you should be leery. You should really be ready to read your ingredients labels, whether it be the pasta aisle or the cereal aisle or the protein bar aisle. You know, those are usually the processed food that sit at room temperature, that don't mold. You know, they last a long time in your pantry. So just really reading, you know, I love the Jovial pasta brand because it's just brown rice flour and water. So that to me is perfect. It doesn't have the citric acid or any other preservatives. So cereal aisles, I usually tend to stay away from and make my own because they're just loaded with preservatives and sugar. And then I have a couple of recipes for cereal in my Happy Baking and Desserts. But yeah, that's a big one, especially if you have kids or a husband like mine that loves cereal. It's hard for that little transformation, but you can make it pretty easily for them. And then meats, when you're on those outer aisles, like the butchery is always the best place to go. They have just now done research and commercial meat, highly processed meat, is a carcinogen. They have just come out with that research, which, you know, is mind blowing. And it's actually the number one hormone disruptor from the Dr. Sarah Godfrey has put some information about that out. And if you do eat meat, which I suggest eating, you know, a lot more plants than meat, but I think everybody's body is different. But if you do eat meat, make sure if you can, local farmers markets are great, but we have really great stores here. And I'm sure around the country, it's the same where you can get grass-fed, grass-finished beef or chicken that's not grain-finished just to bulk them up so that they make more money in the long term. But it has those effects on our body, no antibiotics. We want natural food that...
Yeah, we want natural foods, right? Exactly. You know, your point about the cereal, I have not had cereal in a long time. I was just thinking about it while you were talking, and I was trying to remember, when was the last time I had cereal? I think I've had some oatmeal that's pretty basic, but... And man, I used to eat cereal like crazy too, but it's been a while. I think it's been several years now since I've even had any sort of cereal. So
I'm right there with you. I don't eat cereal either.
It's weird, but I think it's because I started cutting dairy out and now I totally enjoy a lot of these milk alternatives. I gravitate towards things like almond milk and macadamia milk and just make sure they're unsweetened, try to keep it as clean as possible. I should probably learn to make my own almond milk. Now, speaking of produce, you were mentioning you start on the outsides. I love that because I tend to do the same thing, although I would love to actually walk with you one of these days and we'll do a walk together.
That would be amazing. I'd love that.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. But when you get to the produce section, how do you pick good vegetables or good fruit? Are there tricks that you have to find the best?
Yes. So there's a couple different tricks. Shopping in season will keep it lower in price. And it's actually our bodies were meant to eat in season. There's different things that happen with our chemistry. So in season is always the best. And then, you know, with organic and non-organic, I have a family of five. I have three daughters and a husband who eats a lot. So, you know, you want to keep your budget pretty well. You don't want to spend your whole paycheck on it. So knowing the dirty dozen, these are things that just absorb pesticides, herbicides a lot more than other things like strawberries, you know, kale, cherries, celery, tomatoes, apples, those things you want to buy organic. The Clean 15 are things more with peels that you can buy non-organic and probably not get as many toxins in your body. So like avocados, pineapple, eggplant, cauliflower, mushrooms, broccoli. And these things are so easy to find these lists online if you ever just want to get a list. So knowing what is best non-organic versus organic is great. So I like to buy, because, you know, we're all busy. I like to go grocery shopping once a week and then I get everything I need. So when it comes to produce, kind of getting an idea of what lasts longer and what doesn't. So I like to get squashes and melons for the like end of my week, because, you know, spaghetti squash, acorn squash, those last forever. So those can just sit in my house and by, you know, Saturday, Sunday, or whenever the end of my week is, I can make that versus having, you know, avocados that go bad or potatoes that might go bad or bell peppers, things like that, that I want to use closer to the beginning of my week, you know, or pears, things like that, that'll get bruised or start to go bad. So that's how I kind of plan my produce out. Same with my legumes and my grains. You know, if I'm going to have something towards the end of the week, I'll probably have like lentils or dried beans. And so getting into that too, you bulk items are so amazing because they're so cheap and you don't have to get as much as they like, you know, a bag of beans or a can of beans, whatever it may be. So I always buy mine dry and in bulk, whether it be grains or legumes or pasta. And that really helps out with my budget too, because it's always so much cheaper to get it in bulk and dry, and it lasts forever in your pantry. So there are ways to have some things that are always at your house. But when it comes to produce, yeah, just learning what goes bad quick versus what doesn't is always nice, so that you can just plan for the week, because that's how I have to do it with my kids and with running a restaurant.
You were just full of tips. I love it, Kimber. So when it comes to food that's organic versus non-organic, can you talk a little bit more about that? What does it mean to be organic? And then you said some foods are healthy non-organic. In what kind of a scenario would you really go after non-organics? I know you touched upon it briefly, but I think it's something that we are so primed to looking at, organic versus non-organic, that sometimes we just take it for granted that organic equals healthy. I'd like to just have you talk a little bit more about, is that true, or is there more detail to that?
Well, you know, in my opinion, organic is the best way to go. Obviously, we want all the nutrients. We don't want any toxins in our body and things like that. But it is hard. It's like the gluten-free, you know, is it organic, or are they using, now they're starting to certify certain pesticides and herbicides as organic in commercial, big, larger farming, so that they can keep the bugs off. Because you have to think, from a farmer's point of view, they don't want to lose their product. You know, they're trying to make money too. I get that. But, you know, to spray these things down, it's just an issue for our bodies. It's very toxic, the heavy load. And then to have to detox all of that is just time consuming, and more knowledge we have to find. So I think organic is so important. And the easiest way to know it's 100% organic is to go to your local farmer's market. Meet your farm. We have over 30 vendors at Nourish Cafe and Market. I love farmers. I love that I can just go to their farm and see what they're doing, and it's transparent and I don't have to question it. And I know I'm also, you know, putting that money back into my local economy, which is always such a good feeling. I'm feeding local families. And so, but I do think it's important with the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. Those, like I said, those lists they're just everywhere, and they update them every year. But just knowing what, like, if you think about a strawberry skin, it's like a sponge, you know, it can just absorb those toxins so much. And so I try not to give my family, you know, strawberries that are non-organic. And it's, but if you buy in season, they're cheaper. So the in season really helps. You know, blueberries can be like $5 or $6 a pint organic. And that is a lot of money. And my kids can eat blueberries like nobody's business. So, but then right now they're in season and they're like $2.50 a pint. So I buy them all the time. It depends on what you're using them for too. Organic frozen produce is amazing, because when you pick something, a produce item, whether it be a fruit or a vegetable, nut, seed, legume, whatever, it has the most nutrients in the first 24 to 48 hours. So again, farmers markets, they usually pick them that morning, which is phenomenal. It's so great. But the frozen aisle, they usually flash freeze them pretty quickly. So you can find some good sales on that, organic as well. And then frozen options are so great. Like, I love frozen cauliflower and broccoli and peas, because they're just cheaper and they're in my freezer and they can last till the end of the week. And then we get a lot of stuff frozen for smoothies, whether it be mangoes, because those have, like, you know, they feed the good bacteria in your gut, or berries, or, you know, if you get bananas and they start to go bad, I like to mash them and put them into ice cube trays. This is the same with avocado, or really anything that starts to go bad. Watermelon, I'll blend in a blender, and then I freeze it in ice cube trays. Once they're frozen, I put them in an airtight container in the freezer, and then I have things prepped for, say, you know, smoothies or soups, or maybe, you know, a watermelon margarita. That's just a lot healthier. So it just depends. God.
You're getting me so excited about food.
Let me tell you,
I love the fact that you're talking about frozen foods too, because you're making it easier for us to eat healthy, right? You don't, because we can't get to the grocery store every single day, or ordering from the grocery store can get very expensive. But this is exciting to think about how you can store food for tomorrow that can still be healthy. And in fact, you know, you're talking about mangoes. We just completed a clinical study looking at giving people mangoes every single day and following, do they have a bump in this chemical called carotenoids, which is one of the goodies that are in mangoes. As they eat mangoes every day, they ate 85 grams every day. Their carotenoid levels definitely bumped. And here's the payoff. We also looked at if wrinkles improved in women, and this was in postmenopausal women. And what we did was we gave them frozen mango so that they could store it at home and then just eat it on a regular basis every single day. The study hasn't come out and published yet, but I'm going to tell you that it was very interesting results. Hopefully we'll talk about the publication when it comes out, but
I love it.
Definitely with a focus on frozen mangoes. But the idea was you could keep it stored in your fridge and freezer for a long time.
Yeah. And let's be real. Who wants to peel mangoes? Like, I would so much rather buy it frozen than have to, you know, cut that, because they're hard to open sometimes. So I would much rather buy them frozen. But that's amazing. Yeah. There's such good research when it comes to mangoes.
Yeah. It's fun that we're focusing so much on food now that we're getting more studies. Well, Kimber, this has been awesome. I think that we're going to have to do multiple sessions on tips with food, but this was a really good walkthrough on the grocery store and just some basic tips on how to pick healthier food, eat healthier food, and just get in the mindset of healthier food. So I really appreciate you taking time to do that. Tell us about your cookbook.
So Happy Food, I wrote, it was so funny. I got my yoga teacher training when my husband was stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina in the Army. And I went with a group of yoga teachers, and one of them was the owner of the studio I was teaching at. And we were going to Raleigh, North Carolina for a training with Connected Warriors. So with Judy Weaver, the founder, we learned how to teach people that had, you know, amputees, soldiers with PTSD. So that was a really cool training. But on the way back, everybody was asking me, all the teachers were like, what do you eat? Like, how do you eat? Which, you know, I kind of just do my thing, and I don't really judge what other people do because we're all on our own path. And I was like, I don't know. I eat what I eat, you know? And so they were like, well, we'd love some recipes. And I didn't have kids at the time. I just had dogs. And I was like, well, I'll start writing some recipes down. And in 2 weeks, I had over 75 recipes written.
Oh my God.
And I was like, wow, this is like, and I love when it comes to happy food, it's just, I want easy stuff. I want things that I miss, like ketchup without sugar. I sweeten it with dates or hummus, you know, that doesn't have citric acid or inflammatory oils that are hydrogenated. Just little tips like that, that made my body have fuel and not the preservatives like we talked about. So yeah, I ended up writing all those recipes, and then I wrote query letters to publishers, and I got a couple people that were like, we love this idea. And I mean, it was so random how my book got written. And then yeah, so that's how that one got written. And then I love baking. And I feel like there are not a lot of recipes out there, especially with clients that I work with at Nourish, that have so many allergies. I mean, you name it. I've worked with people with 45 intolerances. I've worked with people with 2 intolerances. Yeah, yeah. And baking is a hard one, especially dairy and eggs are huge allergies once people finally go get tested, is what I'm learning. And eggs kind of blew my mind. Then baking came along, and I love baking. So my baking book's just kind of fun. And I'm not saying to eat like chocolate logs or, you know, my biscuits and gravy every single day, because it has, you know, brown rice flour or whatever it may be, the grains. But no, they're just like fun recipes for if you're having a get together, or, you know, you're having an event with family and friends and you want something a little bit more fun. So the happy food is much more just sustainable smoothies, meals, a little bit of desserts. And then my baking one really goes into some fun things with baking.
Yeah. And we're going to be getting a lot of your recipes onto the Jivon website. So we're excited about that too.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too.
Well, Kimber, thank you again for your time. And if you can just mention your 2 cookbooks one last time so people get that. And then before we end, where can people find you online?
So Happy Food Cookbook and then Happy Baking and Desserts are my books. You can find those on any bookstore online, Amazon. And then I have my personal chef page, chefkimberdean.com, or you can find my restaurant, nourishcafeandmarket.com. But yeah, those are my 2 links. And I'm so grateful that you let me do this. I have an Instagram page and a Facebook page that are under the same names if you want to follow me. But I look forward to doing this more with you. I just love sharing this stuff and letting people feel just less anxious about trying to get healthy and just more optimistic about it.
No, I love it. Thank you, Kimber.
Yeah, thank you.
This is the Holistic Health Podcast, brought to you by Jivon, where we believe that cultivating a healthy ecosystem unique to you is important to living vital and living well. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to our channel, and be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and visit us at jivon.com. check out our membership options to take your health to the next level.